Many Catholics do not know how and if the saints help the souls in purgatory. Today, I want to reveal to you a beautiful purgatory vision that shows an incredible showcase of this so that you can deepen your relationship with the saints, obtain their intercession for you more powerfully, and more specifically, to have them help you help the souls in purgatory. All of this will dramatically change how you pray to them. We're going to talk about this in today's video and more. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Now let me share with you this absolutely beautiful story. Listen to this. Philip Weld was the youngest son of James Weld, Esquire of Archer's Lodge, Southampton, and a nephew of the late Cardinal Weld. In 1842, he was sent by his father to St. Edmund's College near Ware in Hertfordshire for his education. He was a good, amiable boy and much beloved by his masters and fellow students. It chanced that April 16, 1846 was a holiday at the college. On the morning of that day, Philip had been to Holy Communion at the early mass, having just finished a retreat, and in the afternoon he went boating on the River Wear, accompanied by one of the masters and some of his companions. Boating was one of the sports which he always enjoyed particularly. After amusing themselves for some hours, the master remarked that it was time to return to the college, but Philip begged to have one more row. The master consented, and they rowed out to the accustomed turning point. On arriving there and on turning the boat, Philip accidentally fell into the river, and notwithstanding every effort to save him, he was drowned. The corpse was brought back to the college, and the very Reverend Dr. Cox, the president, as well as all the others, was terribly shocked and grieved to hear of the accident. He was very fond of Philip, and to be obliged to communicate the sad news to the boy's parents was a most painful duty. He could scarcely make up his mind whether to write by post or to send a messenger. At last, he resolved to go himself to Southampton. Dr. Cox set off on the same afternoon, passed through London, and reached Southampton the next day. Thence he drove to Archer's Lodge, the residence of the Weld family, but before entering the grounds, he saw Mr. Weld a short distance from his gate, walking toward the town. Dr. Cox immediately stopped the carriage, alighted, and was about to address Mr. Weld when the latter prevented him by saying, "You need not speak one word, for I know that Philip is dead. Yesterday afternoon I was walking with my daughter Catherine, and we suddenly saw him. He was standing in the path on the opposite side of the turnpike road between two persons, one of whom was a youth dressed in a black robe. My daughter was the first to perceive them and exclaimed, 'Oh, Papa, did you ever see anyone so like Philip as that?' 'Like him,' I answered, 'why, it is he.' Strange to say, she thought nothing of the circumstances than that we had beheld an extraordinary likeness of her brother. We walked toward these three figures. Philip was looking with a smiling, happy countenance at the young man in a black robe, who was not so tall as he. Suddenly they all vanished. I saw nothing but a countryman, whom I had seen before through the three figures, which gave me the impression that they were spirits. I said nothing, however, to anyone, as I was fearful of alarming Mrs. Weld. I looked out anxiously for the post this morning. To my delight, no letter came. I forgot that letters from Ware came in the afternoon, and my fears were quieted, and I thought no more of the extraordinary circumstance until I saw you in the carriage outside my gate. Then everything returned to my mind, and I could not doubt but you came to tell me of the death of my dear boy.' The story continues. The reader will easily imagine how inexpressibly astonished Dr. Cox was at this recital. He asked Mr. Weld if he had ever before seen the young man in the black robe. The gentleman replied that he had never before seen him, but that his countenance was so indelibly impressed on his memory that he was certain he should recognize him at once anywhere. About 4 months later, he and his family paid a visit to his brother in Lancashire. One day he walked with his daughter Catherine to the neighboring village of Chipping, and after attending a service at the church, called to see the priest. A few moments elapsed before the Reverend Father was at leisure to come to them, and while waiting, they amused themselves by examining the prints hanging on the walls of the room. Suddenly, Mr. Weld stopped before a picture which had no name that one could see written under it as a frame covered the lower part, and exclaimed, 'That is the person whom I saw with Philip. I do not know whose likeness this print is, but I'm certain that he is the one I saw with Philip.' The priest entered the room a moment later and was immediately questioned by Mr. Wald concerning the print. He replied that it was a picture of Saint Stanislaus Kostka and supposed to be a very good likeness of the young saint. Mr. Wald was much moved at hearing this, for Saint Stanislaus was a member of the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, and Mr. Wald's father, having been a great benefactor to the order, his family was supposed to be under the particular protection of the Jesuit saints. Now, that story reveals everything that we are going to understand. The first thing that it teaches us is that when we have a charitable love here on earth with some particular group or religious order, in this case, because of that charity that we establish, we then have access to those saints' intercession in our lives, and particularly the moment of death, and presumably in purgatory. Now, remember, I've talked about how charity is like a highway. Some of us have a one-lane road. Not a lot gets through. We're not very charitable. But some of us have or should have like an 8-lane freeway where you've established so much charity by doing acts of charity, prayers, donations, sacrifices, etc. And in building your highway larger, you can give more charity and receive more charity. The scriptures are true in this. You reap what you sow. You take advantage of what you have built. Okay, now we're going to talk about how to dramatically increase the intercession of the saints for purgatory and for you. We're going to talk about this right now. So what is the difference between the prayer of the saints and the prayer of those on earth? Because sometimes people will say, well, why don't just the saints get all the people in purgatory out? Why can't they pray? Why can't they get them out? What is going on here? So our prayer versus their prayer is different. The prayer of the saints is called impetration. Here's the big word, the big theological word. Now, this is a word. Here's what it means. It means that they are praying, appealing to God's mercy based on the merits that they obtained during their life. So based on their holiness, they have a certain prayer power in heaven to obtain things from God's mercy. Our prayer is different. Our prayer is called satisfaction. We can also, through our merits, obtain things from God's mercy. However, we can also appeal to satisfaction. So the difference between our prayer and theirs is we can suffer. We can pay off God's debt or satisfy for debt. That is something that the saints can no longer do. So if a soul in purgatory has a particular debt, because we can satisfy, we can make prayers of satisfaction, we can suffer, we still live in time, we can pay off that debt more directly and more quickly, whereas a saint has to, based on his merits, appeal to God's mercy, and they can sometimes obtain things that are even beyond what they should have, depending on how God answers their prayers. Those are the essential differences. Now, when we're talking about this, we need to understand a few things to make sense of why is it like that. It's the difference between justice and mercy. So justice is what you have a duty to do or what is owed to you. So in justice, you have a justice to care for and love your spouse and your children. So they, in justice, owe you their respect and their love. You don't owe or have to take care of your neighbor's children. You only have to take care of, in justice, your children. Now, if you go and take care of your neighbor's children, that would be called an act of mercy. Now, mercy is something that goes outside of what you owe or what is your duty to do. So for instance, we have in justice a duty to pray for the souls in purgatory from our family. In justice, we have to do that. That's our job. That's assigned to us. That's the least we could do. Now, if you go ahead and start praying for like every single soul in purgatory, you don't owe them that injustice. That's not your duty. That's completely an act of mercy, something that goes outside of what you are asked to do. Now, this interplay between justice and mercy is really interesting. We see it also play out in exorcisms. In exorcism and in spiritual warfare, you have imprecatory prayer and deprecatory prayer. These are the two essential types of prayers in spiritual warfare. Now, in justice, certain people can do imprecatory prayer, which is commanding the demon to leave. Now, we in justice can pray that type of prayer over our own bodies or over people that are under us or over things that we own, because in justice, those things, quote, belong to us. So for instance, a husband can pray that type of prayer over his wife, over his children, over himself, over his property. Father Ripperger has a whole chart that explains how this all works. And if I made a mistake, look at the chart and it'll clarify anything. We can't command a demon that's possessing our neighbor's house in the same way that it's not owed to us to go and take care of his children. That's not within the realm of justice. So if there is a demon in our neighbor's house, we can't say in the name of Jesus, I command you, demon, to leave, because it's not our house. It's not ours. It's not our property. However, we can do deprecatory prayer, a prayer that appeals to God's mercy and implores God to deliver the situation. So we can pray and say, Lord Jesus, please have mercy. Please deliver this demon from this house. And we can pray and pray and pray. And our power to access God's mercy, a saint's power to do imprecation, an ability to access God's mercy, depends on how merciful we have been here in this life. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And you can go deeper into that by saying, to the degree that you have been merciful in this life, that's how much mercy you can obtain from God in the next life and in this life as well. Now I want to talk about a Saint Trinity prayer to greatly increase the saints' prayers for purgatory. We're going to get into that. So when you see in our faith, you see a series of trinities. And this is sort of important, because when that's present, there's more power there. So the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see this also with the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We see this also in certain elements of our faith, faith, hope, and love. We see this with prayer, fasting, almsgiving. These sort of holy trinities are important, because that something happens when those three things are present. So now I want to reveal to you a Saint Trinity prayer that is radically more powerful than normal for the souls in purgatory. We can appeal to the saints to ask them to pray for the souls in purgatory. So typically, when we ask the saints intercession, one way is to ask the saint to pray for you. And that's just kind of like one line. We can also have the saint pray for someone that you care about, but that just kind of forms an extended line. They're not just praying for you. They're praying for, so to speak, someone behind you. You can also have them pray for someone in purgatory. And that's kind of getting to what I'm talking about, but there's something more that hardly anyone knows. To explain that, you have to understand the concept of a client. Now, in different places, we use different words to speak of someone who's particularly devoted to a particular saint. In India, for instance, it's common to use the word devotee. Or in this case, when I've been reading all of these stories from this one particular book that I'm going to put right here, they always use the word client. Now, a client of a saint is someone who is incredibly devoted to that saint during their life. So because that person in justice was incredibly devoted to that saint during their life, because of that, in purgatory, that saint has that person as a client. Every saint, Saint Joseph, the Blessed Mother, Saint Stanislaus Kostka, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, you name it, every single saint had people during their lives that were devoted during their life to that particular saint. These people become like spiritual children of the saint, or we could use the word client or devotee. So this is the kicker here. Not only should you ask the saint to pray for you, not only should you ask the saint to pray for you in purgatory, not only should you ask the saint to pray for your friends or to pray for other people that you may know of in purgatory, but I want you to pray for that saint's clients in purgatory. And when you do that, something incredibly powerful will happen. If you really want to get St. Joseph's powerful intercession for you and for your family in purgatory and here on earth, go and pray for the clients of St. Joseph in purgatory. Do you understand? Because St. Joseph can't do satisfactory prayer for his spiritual children in purgatory. None of the saints can. No matter how holy they are somewhat limited in their prayer, some more than others, because they cannot suffer. Even the Blessed Virgin Mary cannot suffer. So she needs your help. The saints need your help to free their clients in purgatory. You can go to any saint of your choosing. There's like 10,000 of them or more. And you could say, hey, you have spiritual children in purgatory. You have clients in purgatory. You can't suffer for them. I can. I need your help. Let me help you help your children so they can implore God's mercy for their children in purgatory. And you could suffer for their children in purgatory, uniting both things, uniting your satisfactory prayer to their prayer of impetration. When this Holy Trinity saint prayer happens, you will see incredible things in your life. My friends, trust me when I say this, there is no more powerful way to obtain a saint's intercession for you than to pray for their clients and purgatory, and to do them this favor. It will radically transform your relationship with them. If this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.